Chapter 5. An Evening at Cliff House. Felicity, 1988. Felicity and Alex's parents had finally left for Paris, and Grandma was staying with her friend Betty in Exeter for the weekend. All Felicity wanted to do was to listen to music, swim, and relax for 3 days. She and Alex drove to Penzance to buy wine and chocolate. When they got home, they saw Andy, the horrible man from the bus stop by the gate. His aura was grey, and it had little triangles. Triangles were bad. Felicity hoped that he was not Rachel's boyfriend. Andy was at least 25, and Rachel was 17. He had long, wild hair and hard eyes. Alex stopped the car so that Felicity could open the gate, but she refused to get out. "Okay," Alex said, getting out of the car. "I'll do it."
"Hi, are you okay?"
Alex asked the man.
"Yes, sorry," Andy said. "I was looking for the beach."
"It's that way,"
Alex said, pointing.
"Thanks,"
said Andy, but he did not leave.
"Do you live here?"
"Yes."
"Are you brother and sister?"
Alex nodded and got back in the car. He drove through the gate, stopped, then got out to close the gate behind him. Then he locked it with the chain. Andy stood there, watching them drive away. Felicity knew that he had lied. Andy lived in the village, and of course he knew the way to the beach.
Josie, 2022. Josie was on her phone, trying to find information online about people who had disappeared. It was difficult because in the 80s there was no internet. She discovered that 17-year-old Rachel was the vicar's daughter, and everybody had been shocked when she disappeared in the summer of 1988. Josie had found a picture of Rachel's parents, who looked sweet and sad, in an old newspaper. At the end of the newspaper story, there was a quote from Rachel's best friend, Felicity Campion Roberts. It said, "We're all shocked about what's happened. Rachel, if you're out there, we hope that you're safe."
That was Clem's mum. Did that mean that Felicity had known Uncle Andy too?
Rachel was never found, and there was no information about Andy Teague online. Mum knocked on Josie's bedroom door, and Josie quickly hid her phone.
"I've decided that something has to change," Mum said. "It's time for me to see the doctor."
Josie did not want to get excited. This had happened before. She needed to speak to somebody about Rachel Thomas, Andy Teague, Felicity Campion Roberts, and also about her mum.
"Can I go and see Sinara?" Josie asked. "I'll come back and make dinner."
"Of course," Mum said. "Have a nice time. I'll make dinner. I'm fine."
It was strange, but Mum seemed much happier since the news about Andy. Josie stood at the gates of Cliff House, feeling nervous. She did not want to see Clem, who had stolen her best friend and who Josie did not trust. And now Josie was worried about walking in and telling Sinara that Andy was dead. Now that Sinara had seen this other life, she might not care. And Clem might laugh when she heard. Josie sat on the grass, thinking about it all.
It's Josie, isn't it? Said a voice.
Mrs. Roberts was looking at her over the fence.
Sorry, Mrs. Roberts,
Josie said, jumping up.
You look terrible, said the old lady. What's the matter? Come in and tell me, and call me Martha.
Josie could not think of a way to say no, so she followed Martha into her cottage.
Clem's problem is that she's spoiled, said Martha. She expects everything to be given to her. She's beautiful, rich, and will never have to worry about where her next meal is coming from.
Lucky her, Josie said.
Do you worry about where food's coming from, Josie?
Martha seemed to be looking inside Josie. So Josie told her the truth.
Yes, sometimes we have to use the food bank. Mum can't work, and I'm at school, so we have no money.
That's awful. It shouldn't be that way.
Do you and your mother like pizza?
Yes.
Josie was confused. Then Martha used her phone to order pizza for Josie and her mum for that evening.
I can order pizza once a week. Maybe we can do some supermarket shopping online too.
That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me, Josie said.
She wanted to tell Martha everything. She looked away before she started to cry.
You're welcome, Martha said. Now I have to go to the big house because Clem wants to be nice to me. She's probably planning a party. Do you know anything about a party?
Yes,
Josie smiled. This woman did not miss a thing.
Sanara. It was nearly 7 o'clock on Thursday evening, and the light was golden. The air was warm, and there was lovely food on the table. We were sitting by the pool, and Clem was talking to Gareth. I looked around, and suddenly saw the bone on another little table.
What's that doing there? I said.
Sorry, I was showing Gareth, Clem said. Put it back in the pool house, Gareth. And Sanara, can you go down to the cottage and help Martha with her mobility scooter? She's coming here for a drink.
Sure. I didn't know that Martha had a mobility scooter, I said.
Are you going to invite her to the party on Saturday?
No!
She'll be able to see everyone arriving from her window, and she'll hear the music. So she'll know that the house is alive, just like she wants, and that I'll keep it that way. Then she'll change her will and give Cliff House to me.
I hated the idea that Clem was thinking about Martha dying as soon as the will was changed. I went down to the cottage and helped Martha get onto her mobility scooter.
She drove it fast up the drive, so I had to run along beside her.
When we arrived at the big house, I helped Martha into a chair under a tree and sat next to her. Her skin was as thin as paper, and her hair was completely white. Will I live to be 92? I wondered.
Clem gave Martha a glass of champagne.
I know when you want something, Clem, Martha said. When's the party?
Well, Clem began.
You can't have a party without me knowing about it, said Martha, because all your friends will have to walk past my window. I'm old,
but I'm not stupid. I don't care what you do. Just don't damage the house.
Are you going to tell Mum?
Clem asked.
No, Martha said, looking very happy. I only want one thing.
What?
Asked Clem.
Let me come. I want to put on a beautiful dress, drink champagne, and eat strawberries. I want to watch young people having fun and listen to the music, even if I don't understand it. I want to feel like a part of it all. Then I want somebody to take me home by 10.
If we do that, Clem said, will you keep the house in the family?
I did not breathe. Martha said nothing. The party's on Saturday, I said, when nobody spoke. The day after tomorrow.
Nobody's 18 yet. Is that right? Martha asked. We all shook our heads. So, I'll order the wine online. Nobody's going to ask me about my age.
Cool, Clem said. We'll give you the money, Gran.
But Martha's face had changed.
What's that? She asked. I had never seen her look angry before. She was looking at the bone.
Sorry, I forgot,
Gareth said, quickly, picking the bone up and taking it into the pool house.
The dog found it.
Martha looked at me.
Sinara, you mustn't bring your dogs in here again.
Her voice was shaking.
Put it back where it came from, or I'll do it myself.